BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of BDNG Meets Podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I'm the Education and Development Lead for the BDNG. Today I have the greatest of pleasure of welcoming back Gretchen Robertson, who is an integrative psychotherapist. Gretchen's already recorded two podcasts for the BDNG and absolutely. If you haven't listened to these, you must listen. And there's some really, really good information on the podcast. So please check out our BDNG website for these podcasts. So today, Gretchen is going to be talking about getting back to neutral and how to manage compassion fatigue. So welcome back, Gretchen. I'm so delighted you're back with us.
Oh, thank you. It is my great pleasure and privilege to be back again. So thank you. I've been really enjoying taking part in these podcasts with you, Tina, and honestly, because I haven't been in front of the nurses like I used to be back in the day when I used to come to the conference, it's a wonderful way to reconnect, and it's been wonderful for those of you that have reached out and said hello on LinkedIn or on any of the ways you can find me, like on Counseling Directory on my website, that sort of thing. Thanks.
Great news. And yeah, we had such amazing feedback on LinkedIn last time you did a couple of podcasts. And the great news is, Gretchen, you're actually going to come and speak with us face to face at our two psychodermatology days in for the BDNG as well. So we will see you in person. So that's fantastic.
Oh, I can't wait. And I thought I would give a little bit of a taster in today's podcast on what we're going to cover at the Psych Derm event in a couple of months. Actually, it's not even that long from now,
no,
to be fair.
It's not at all. We need to get those slides done, Gretchen.
We will. We are doing it now. And in fact, I was so inspired by the presentation that I'm pulling together now. I wanted to share a little bit about compassion fatigue, because it isn't something that is unique to nurses, but it's definitely something that impacts anybody in the care sort of world. But I think probably a little bit more for nurses, considering how rough this winter has been. I mean, it's been particularly hard with all of the illnesses that have been coming through, the backlog, the waiting lists, the frustration with patients, and then you're trying to manage your own life when you go home eventually. You know, so I really want to give you some great ways of, again, for free, getting back to neutral.
That's fantastic. And it is, you're absolutely knitting. You are absolutely hitting that nail on the head. I can't speak this morning, obviously. It's been a difficult time for nurses. And I think, you know, post-COVID, everyone was sort of blaming COVID. But now I think there's a lot more challenges out there. And you are finding that a lot of nurses I speak with, a lot of nurses I work with are having this compassion sort of fatigue. And, you know, we are human. And we've also got kids at home. We've got husbands at home. We've got partners at home. We've got life to lead as well. So it's a tricky one. So I'm absolutely looking forward to your discussion today.
Thank you. And I just want to sort of outline first, what is compassion fatigue? So this is where we are giving 110%, or as much as we've got. Like, maybe it's not 100%, maybe it's 75, if that's what we have. But you're giving the majority of your bandwidth to work. You are being present for patients. Some of those patients aren't particularly receptive to the care that you're giving. Sometimes there's frustration, you know, sort of inter-office politics. There could be lots going on. Now, all that energy is going into work. And then when you come out, you've got to face the rest of the world. And sometimes it's not with a smile. Sometimes there's a huge amount of anger. Sometimes we're leaning on that glass of wine when we get home so that we can adjust ourselves into a much more restful state. And when we think about things like polyvagal theory, we think about the fact that we might be in a state of fight or flight. We might be kind of really aggressive. You know, we could be triggered at work and, you know, we can't show it there. So we've got to show it somewhere. We can slip into aspects of depression or anxiety. I mean, there's so many things that can come around the umbrella of compassion fatigue. But fundamentally, what it means is that you almost have a sense of exhaustion about having to care, about empathy around your bandwidth emotionally and psychologically for others.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of emotions you've discussed there, you know, going through the different things we face basically every day. I mean, every day it's all happening, isn't it? It's all there. And, you know, and a lot of people, you know, it is difficult, and you can understand why people totally get exhausted or feel they haven't got enough to give anymore, or maybe take it out on, you know, our family, you know, that pure exhaustion. So compassion fatigue is a definite, you know, something that we have to deal with. And I think if we're truthful, Gretchen, everybody has an element of this in their life. And I think sometimes it's talking about it as well and speaking about it. And hopefully today we'll learn how to manage it more as well.
Precisely. And so what I wanted to do is also just kind of mention one of my favorite people, Gabor Mate. And what he said is, he doesn't believe that there's any such thing as compassion fatigue. He believes that it's just a lack of boundaries. It's where the lack of boundaries and meeting your own needs haven't really been addressed. And so that translates into a lack of empathy for others. So it's really back to what we talked about in the previous podcast. It's about really getting into, you know, self-care. You know, how do we look after ourselves? You know, we're looking at the physical and the emotional exhaustion. So are we getting enough rest? Are we able to rest when we're at home? Nursing is a high stress environment. As you said, very rightly, Tina, everybody has a little bit of this, but perhaps at the moment, the world of the nurse is much more high stress than maybe it was 10 years ago.
I do feel that, definitely. I think there is more out there for, you know, it is more challenging. You know, nurses are advancing more as well, but it's not all even the advanced nurses. It's anyone that's working in the NHS. It can be very, very difficult. And not only that, Gretchen, we're commuting, you know, we're thinking about, you know, the traffic, we're thinking about parking, you know, we're still thinking about the kids, you know, all these different things that are going on before we even actually get into the hospital and start, you know, dealing with these complex patients. So, you know, it's really important, like you said, to have this sort of focus on yourself, but that is the last thing most people think about, isn't it?
Well, I guess we can put ourselves on the side. We can say, oh, it's okay, it's just me. I mean, I hear that so often. I don't know if you hear that, Tina. It's only me, I can handle it, it's fine, I don't need it. But how does one know there's an experience of compassion fatigue? How do we know it's not just like a little bug, or, you know, you're a bit tired, or what do the symptoms look like? So feeling emotionally drained and detached is one of the symptoms. Also difficulty in concentrating, reduced job satisfaction. There could be physical symptoms such as headaches or insomnia, and there could be an increased irritability and frustration. Now, these can also be emblematic of other disorders such as menopause, perimenopause, you know, there's a million things that have this. But perhaps if we start to notice that this is a little bit more persistent, or it's definitely coming on around a particularly stressful period at work, and it's just getting harder to really focus on getting work done. And this impact of compassion fatigue can really impact your job performance. So you might start to notice signs of burnout. You can notice strain in your relationships, which also again feeds into feeling really stressed out and unsupported, lonely, depressed, anxious. And you may result in a lack of motivation or sense of purpose, because you've really devoted a lot of your life to being in the nursing field. So there are definitely practices. So I mentioned, you know, my favorite, Gabor Mate, speaking about setting boundaries and self-empathy, really getting an idea of when is it work, when is it not work, right? When, again, are we dealing with something that feels very personal at work? And if we have the capacity in that moment to identify how we're feeling and we're not just simply reacting, that's fabulous. But I would love to give a little bit of support with quick fixes for anxiety. And as we're on a podcast and we are not in person. You can't see me. So I'm going to, I've picked some ones that are a little bit easy to describe.
That sounds amazing. That sounds really, really fabulous. Because going back to Gabimetti there, you know, that you've mentioned twice now as well, which, you know, is, you know, fantastic. And it is having that sort of emotional, you know, boundaries and you know, you can't give everything, can you? You can't give everything, every single person in your life, every, you know, bit of your life. And yeah, I am absolutely really excited about, you know, finding out how to sort of, like you say, getting back to neutral, feeling more like, you know, the person you are, the person you deserve to be.
And this is also another factor, Tina, because when we go back to neutral, sometimes that can feel really odd, right? Sometimes that can feel sleepy, or that you're not going at the kind of speed that you were before. So let's just make a little caveat here that sometimes normal can feel odd.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Neutral can feel a bit odd, a bit slow. Maybe, you know, I've spoken, you might even know from your own experience, speaking to people that have recently gone on SSRIs, that just think, I don't feel like myself. I feel numb. I don't have that edge that I had before. And that edge isn't always a sign of a healthy nervous system, right? So just saying, if you do feel a little bit relaxed or tight, maybe that's a good sign, right?
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
And an element of stress in your life does do you good sometimes, definitely. You know, it does, you know, it does make you buzz a bit, doesn't it? And having that stress. And I think that's right. You can wake up in the morning and feel absolutely fantastic, or you can wake up in the morning and feel that everything's collapsing around you, basically. Mm-hmm. So I suppose it's thinking about, you know, the different boundaries and how we cope with these. And another quick question, how you feel as well. A lot of people have all these apps and all these watches, and, you know, I haven't slept last night, so my watch is telling me off. I mean, how I know we're going to talk about a bit more about the focus on getting back to neutral, but I mean, how do you sit with that? How do you feel about all these apps, and is it good, is it bad? This is just a personal, you know, discussion on how we feel about these.
You know what, I really believe that sometimes we know a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I think Dr. Google was risky back in the day, and now we've got, you know, Dr. App. Are we really looking at it in context? Are we really looking at it as a holistic piece of information, as a nice to know, or is it a tool to fuel our inner critic? So I think scrolling and the dopamine hit we get from looking online has its risks, because then we're really distorting our own reward and our own body chemicals towards receiving soothing from a little screen. And then we're actually getting our guidance of what our body needs from a watch perhaps doesn't allow us to really check in with ourselves. And I think mindfulness, again, that is free.
Yes.
There's some really great videos out there, and you can go onto YouTube and watch John Kabat-Zinn. He's the king of mindfulness. He teaches very simple body scans. So when we first wake up in the morning, rather than maybe checking the app, did we sleep well? Can we check in with ourselves? Can we just get in with our breathing? What's our body feeling like? Are we dehydrated? Have we had a restless night's sleep because the room's been too warm or too cool? Or, you know, let's actually go back to our own inner wisdom around self-care, is my feeling. But I think for some people, they need a little bit of a guidance, a little check-in. I think that's good for a bit, but not as the sole direction towards what one should be doing on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. It's not following, you know, I mean, some people are more into tech, other people not. And I think, you know, it is looking at yourself, isn't it? And I think, you know, focusing on you and how you feel. And, you know, you already mentioned the emotions of possible menopause or periods, or all these things can affect women, pregnancy, everything. So, you know, again, we've got to really focus on how we feel. So, Gretchen.
Yes.
Please tell us. We are excited to listen.
So my first one. Now, I've done this in the peak of an anxious moment. And I've used it in sessions. Now, it's the simplest thing in the world. Are you guys ready? So literally, we cover. Okay, so I have glasses on. I'm taking the glasses off. I am covering my left eye.
I'm going to be doing this as well, Gretchen.
Right? Okay. Now, imagine you're feeling a bit stressed. Let's see how we feel now, because we're always so happy to see each other. We're probably quite relaxed. But we cover our left eye and we look up with our right. And we take 3 long breaths here. So 1, inhale, hold at the top. We just hold for 2, exhale. So they're going to go 1, 2, in, hold for 2, exhale. 1 more, hold for 2, and exhale. Now, it's apparently a hack to reduce anxiety symptoms in the moment. So if you need to just pop somewhere, or maybe just pretend you've got something in your eye, apparently this gives a little hijack to our nervous system to just calm us down.
It does actually, even the, like the sensation, I know the breathing helps as well, but the sensation of having your hand even on your forehead can make a big difference as well, yes. Can it?
So there's a way of also tapping between the eyebrows, just, you know, just a light, so you're just gently, nothing serious, just a nice light tap between the eyebrows also can start to reduce anxious feelings. Another one that you can tap is just below your nose, before your lip, just above, you know, that little indentation, you know the name. Yeah. What's this thing called? You're just above the lip.
Is it? Like a cleft or something. I'm not
the cleft. We're gonna go with that.
Yeah, yes, it is that. The cleft. Menopause brain coming through there, oh, isn't it? It's like, yeah.
I was trying to drive myself, but I thought I'm medically trained here. We're gonna go right here, just below the nose, and we can just literally just tap at the cleft. Again, another way to calm down the nervous system. Now, when we're breathing, breathe like a sleepy baby. Make sure we're expanding our diaphragm. Forget about sucking in your tummy. Breathe from the diaphragm. Really let it expand. This is a really fabulous hijack for when we're feeling anxious in general. So we're not locking our breathing. We're not forcing ourselves to breathe from our top of our chest. When we're doing more breath work, we can get into expanding the breath into the chest. But day to day, breathing from your diaphragm, breathing from your belly, letting it get bigger and smaller, body positivity, loosen up the trousers if you need to, breathe from the tummy. Yeah, okay.
Breathing does, I like your, you know, loosening the trousers as well. That's a good point, definitely.
Yeah, because sometimes we're trying so hard to hit certain, I don't know, you know, if somebody walks in, you want to kind of look like you're trim, who cares, you know? Let's just breathe properly. Let's just let our bodies do what they do naturally. Our bodies want to get into homeostasis. They want, you know, we're geared towards health. Let's allow that process to happen.
Absolutely, that's a good point. And I think as well, possibly, I am speaking for myself here as a nurse for quite a lot of years now, my posture is not great. So I think, you know, that focus on breathing correctly is really important.
That's right. It's harder to describe on a podcast, but what we can do is we can look at that at the BDNG in a little bit more detail about proper breathing. But I wanted to give you another little hack, which is more like a hug, right? Okay. And it can kind of look, I mean, you can disguise this thing, you can go, oh, I'm a bit cold. Literally, we're gonna cross our arms and we're gonna put our right hand on our left bicep and opposite for the other, so left hand on the right hand on the left, you know, left on the right, right left, right. So we're crossing and we're literally just rubbing our biceps. This is called havening. And this is another way to really bring down anxious feelings. Okay. And it's really about stimulating that sort of relaxing, comforting, you know, get that sort of sense of, you know, oxytocin, that kind of, oh, okay, I'm all right, I'm safe.
Yeah, it does feel safe and it does feel relaxed. And can you repeat the name again, Gretchen?
Havening.
Havening.
H-A-V-E-N-I-N-G, Havening. So we can look it up. There's loads of them. Like there's another one where you rub your hands together. That's part of Havening. And what we're doing here is when it comes to compassion fatigue, what we're doing is we're giving back to ourselves. We are allowing ourselves to feel compassion towards ourselves first. So we have filled our cup before we try and fill anyone else's. So it's about feeling okay in our bodies, that we're safe. We're fluffing our arms, we feel nice and safe. We've brought down some of those anxious feelings. We're giving ourselves a little bit of time. We can do this within a few minutes. It doesn't need to be some elaborate, you know, ritual or something that costs you any money. Patients just left the room. You're feeling a little bit overwhelmed. You have a second just to kind of rub your arms just for 10 seconds and breathe from your tummy.
I think that's a really fantastic tip, Gretchen, because that's, you know, sometimes you do feel those emotions quite stressed. And I think, you know, just, you know, we're often told, you know, walk away, but that's impossible sometimes. And, you know, just having those little sort of moments. And I mean, already I felt really quite, you know, safe and warm. Just, I don't know, I'm sitting in front, you know, in a nice environment at the moment with yourself, but I could feel that really working if I was really stressed out as well in a clinic or in other environments. So that's a really, really fantastic, well, you've already given a few fantastic tips, just, you know, again, focusing on ourselves. So please continue, Gretchen.
What is
in that giddy bag?
I mean, really what we have to remember is, where are we storing the tension? So if we live alone, we might not know whether this is true. We might be grinding our teeth, right? If we're lucky and there's someone there that's awake at the same time, we're unlucky waking them up with our teeth grinding, with our bruxism. We will discover that we hold a lot of tension in our jaws.
Yeah.
And if we make two fists, we're not going to punch ourselves out. We're going to take our fist and we're going to go right in that jawline.
Okay.
And we're just going to open our mouth and we're just going to massage our muscles and just relax our jaws. Hopefully it's not making a lot of noise. Let me move my microphone.
I'm glad no one can see us doing this though, Gretchen, I must admit.
But literally it's like you're again, if you're alone, you go into your car, maybe go into the ladies' room, to a cubicle or a man's room or whatever room you're going into. You're relaxing your jaw.
Yeah, you can feel the tension coming out of the jaw. Because I must admit, that's what I do feel sometimes, even when I'm practicing, you know, like yoga or all these things where you're more concentrating on yourself. I feel that when they say, oh, relax the tension in your jaw, I think, gosh, yes, that's where it's happening. So that can make a big difference.
And it's nice because one can do it with fingers, right? And if you've wanted to put your hands all over your face, that's fine, but maybe you don't. So doing it with your knuckles is maybe a slightly less fiddly way of doing it. It's less likely to, you know, sort of make a big mess on your face, or, you know, if you've carefully done your contouring. I don't know if you do that when you go to work. But you know, it's one of these things, it's quite easy to do. Or, you know, if you're just sitting there and you notice there's some tension, you can kind of massage your jaw with your knuckles. And another little add-on is, if we place, let's say, our right hand on our left shoulder, and we just casually look to the right, so we are pressing our shoulder in opposition to the direction that we're looking in, right? So you're looking left, but you're pressing down, you're looking right, but you're pressing down on your left.
Yeah.
So that you can feel your neck muscle stretch.
I was going to say, because that's really good for your neck, isn't it? And any cricks there will definitely, you know, come out. And again, you could do this really quite easily, even in a clinic environment when you're on your own, couldn't you? Definitely.
Yeah. And we're just going to do it on the other side as well. So we're going to put our left hand on our right shoulder and we're just going to look to the left. So we're just allowing our shoulder to have a little bit of a relax. Maybe just let your right arm fall heavy and just allow that shoulder just to relax. And that muscle, again, it's where we hold a lot of tension along our neck.
Yeah, absolutely. You can feel it already. I mean, even when I went to the left side there, I could feel a little crick going. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's really good that you could do that quite quickly yourself as well.
Yeah.
So, and I think I think sometimes it's like getting into these little, I don't know if habit's the right word, but you know, that just that little few seconds of focus on yourself, if you incorporate some of them into your day, it can make a big difference.
Hugely. And these are things that you can just do so quickly.
Absolutely.
It kind of fits under the banner of micro self-care moments. Right?
It's a good word. Yeah. Good word.
just little micro moments for yourself. It's important to recognize that it doesn't have to cost you any money. It doesn't need a lot of time. I know in the past in podcasts, I've talked about going and have a walk, having a playlist. Maybe that's not possible because it is busy at the moment. But just also remember that we can learn once our nervous system is regulated. So yes, we may be in a stretching environment for us professionally, but that frustration could also be the opportunity for learning. So once our nervous system is more neutral, then we may be able to develop resilience. And with that resilience, then we start to see our tolerance for coping with stressful situations. So it kind of builds our muscles. So rather than just like gritting our way through it, tensing all our muscles and trying to force our way through and then burning out, what we're doing is pouring back into our cups, getting into a state of neutrality so that we can tolerate and grow resistance and resilience.
And resilience is a great word, isn't it, as well? Because I think, you know, I know in my trust, you know, we've had resilience training and, you know, some people are really, really acceptive of this, you know, others maybe not. But I think it's really, really important how, you know, we do need to focus on how we are. And, you know, it's stressful jobs that we're in. So I feel that, you know, anything that we can do to help ourselves, even a few seconds in the day, can have a massive impact on how you feel.
Absolutely. And, you know, you can go a little bit further still. One of my favorite writers called Deb Dana, she's written a whole book on polyvagal theory, and she works very closely with the Institute in the States, and they do workshops and all sorts of great things. So they have a fabulous website called Rhythm of Regulation. So definitely check it out. There's loads of great opportunities there to learn a bit more about managing stress, long-term issues of burnout, and so on. So really recommend her work. She's created this concept of the glimmer. And the glimmer is noticing things in your life on a regular basis that make you smile.
Ah, nice.
It's very, very, very simple. So it's about enjoying that cup of coffee in the moment. You know, you love tea and biscuits, and someone's brought your favorite. You've got some custard creams. You've made a tea nicely. It's a glimmer. It's noticing maybe the way the light comes through the window. Noticing the way a patient has smiled at you and they've come back to tell you something is working that you've done. Little tiny glimmers that we collect over a period of time accumulate within our psyche, within our cells even, to remind us to keep looking for more. So we end up, instead of looking for the things that aren't working or the things that are stressing us, just a few things that will keep us going, almost breadcrumbing us, ourselves in a positive way, if that makes sense. And Deb Dana has a wonderful breakdown of exactly how the process of collecting glimmers can work. But from a very simple perspective, it's just the momentary recognition of things that are working out.
I love that glimmer. It does, because we take things for granted, don't we? We do. And I mean, the sun is shining through my window just now, and you know, it's something that it's there, it's nice. Yeah. You know, but it is, and getting out to nature, you know, hearing the birds, something, and like you say, a smile, getting a cup of tea, it's all these little things sometimes we might take for granted, but that glimmer there is make it has a whole new concept, doesn't it?
That's right. And I think the thing is with an iPhone, you know, you've got your mobile phone and you're looking at the variety of social media outlet, it can give the illusion of a glimmer.
Yeah.
Because you've seen something funny and it's kind of taken you out of your day-to-day world. My suggestion is doing something that's maybe not social media based. So something that's happening in the real world. It's spring, so we can look out and say, oh, look, daffodils are out. Look, the crocuses are out. Taking that in. Okay, that feels good. And that's enough. You know, it doesn't have to be a massive acknowledgement. You don't have to write it in a journal or anything like that. Just acknowledging it in the moment and keep doing it.
That's fabulous. I mean, all this that you've been telling us today, and you know, our listeners today will be hearing all this. It's all things we can do quite easily. You know, we don't have to, like you say, get out journals. We don't have to start looking at apps. We don't have to, you know, spend our day doing an hour's class. We can do this very, very simply. And, you know, in a few seconds, even some of these aspects of care that you've said. And I think that's such a positive thing, Gretchen. It really is. It really is. So I love the glimmer. I absolutely love that. And I will definitely be thinking more about my day. Definitely. Mm. Have you got any other sort of handy tips for us today? I know you are a Wonder Woman when it comes to this. It's something, you know.
Oh, thank you.
It really is. It's quite phenomenal sometimes what you tell us. So I mean, it's always a joy to spend this time with you on a podcast.
Oh, thank you. I am so grateful. And honestly, it's because every time I've ever done anything with yourself and when I've been at the BDNG, I love seeing the nurses. I really do love you all. And it just, I feel very emotional and very overwhelmingly grateful to be able to give back. So I realize that so much of this has to happen from the goodness of your heart, because it doesn't always feel like you get the recognition and support that you deserve. So as a person who also can experience compassion fatigue in my practice, you know, dealing with, you know, real genuine life and death situations, these are things that I know work from my experience, from working with others, and they're so quick and easy. The last one I'm going to give you, this is going to sound really silly. So I don't know if you remember the show Bewitched.
Oh, yeah. I used to love. You do? Yeah, the twitchy nose.
You got it. Okay. Well, apparently this was a nervous system regulation technique.
Okay.
Right? So this is so easy as well, because if you think about it, somebody's getting on your nerves, you're starting to feel a bit like wound up. You can just pretend you have to sneeze.
Oh, all right. Okay.
And you literally wiggle your nose. Twitch your nose. If you imagine it's actually wiggling your mouth, so you are almost pierced, like puckering your lips, and you're going back and forth really quick, like as though you're trying to give a little funny little rabbit face. Think of Easter, you know, back and forth. You can't see us, but if you imagine the waggle between,
absolutely, it does work. If I had an annoying person in front of me, I'll be twitching.
And, you know, you can just say, excuse me, I just need to, you know, I'm just about to sneeze. Bring it in. Or if you feel, maybe it's not even a work situation. Maybe it's more you're off work. And this is how we know it's compassion fatigue. It's when you're out of work, you've gone home, you get in your car and somebody is driving like a genius in front of you. I'm going to call them a genius today. Yeah.
Yes.
Instead of maybe what we might say in the moment, but you see them, you know, swerving and dipping and doing weird things with their car in front of you. And you want to go mental because you've been just holding it in all day.
Yeah.
Give yourself a little Bewitched Samantha swisher with the mouth, you know, see if that helps. That might not be the one that works for you. You've got a few here. Please, when you're driving, don't put one hand over an eye, but I don't think I need to tell you that one.
Yeah, that would not be advisable. Yeah, but like you say, you've got a few coping sort of mechanisms, you know, there are definitely that could definitely, you know, help and dip in or dip out of, definitely.
And when we get to the 2 days at the psych derm event, I will also show some other fabulous ones, which are really much better if I can show you in person, that I keep seeing time and time again with my dysregulated clients, helping them really quickly. And it's really wonderful for them because, you know, at last you can have a little bit more agency over your responses to the outside world.
You know? Absolutely. And it's we're so grateful, Gretchen, for you coming on again to the BDNG. That, I mean, it's your third podcast and we learn so Thank much you. From you. And I love the, you know, the sort of theories behind it, but I also love the fact that these are things we can actually do. You know, they're simple, you can incorporate them into your life and they can make a big difference. And I know the first podcast that you did, so many people reached out and said how wonderful it was just having that focus on them as well. It's really important. It really is. And you know, I can say for myself, and I'm sure a lot of members of the BDNG listeners today, we are so excited that you're coming to join us on the two sort of psychoderm days, for the BDNG, and it will be fantastic to have you in person as well. Absolutely.
I can't wait.
I know, we're so excited. We're so excited. It's great. So I just wanted a little recap there just before we leave this podcast today. So because you've gone through quite a few different techniques. So we have, well, I'll let you lead on this. I will start with the I.
Yes.
You know, so we've got the I. And you just go through quickly some of the techniques that you've gone through today for our listeners. No problem.
Yeah, so we talked about the, you know, covering your left eye and you're looking up with your right, correct? The
correct.
Next thing we talked about is a little bit of havening. So that's like your little hug, and that's
H-A-E-E-N-I-N-G.
Havening, there's loads of them, but that's a really simple, straightforward one. I also mentioned you can rub your hands together. I mentioned about putting your opposite hand to shoulder and then looking in the opposite direction of your hand and doing that on both sides, breathing from your tummy at all times. Ignore the flat tummy, ignore trying to look cute, breathe like a baby, big tummy breaths. That's super important. We also talked about massaging that TMJ. So we're using our fists and we're just kind of, you know, rubbing the place just below the cheekbone and just massaging that, allowing that jaw to relax. It's holding so much tension. We're going to let all of that just flow out of us. We also talked about the good old-fashioned bewitch nose wiggle. Well, it's not really a nose wiggle. It's actually the mouth wiggle. And just, you can do that, particularly if somebody's winding you up, and you can just pretend you're going to sneeze and nobody will be offended. it's way better than lashing out or regretting what you're about to say, to just take a moment to center yourself back to neutral, remembering that it's okay to be frustrated. That's where we learn. But we need to have our nervous system at a nice neutral position so that we can grow in resilience and to learn how to tolerate the frustration. So it's really hard to do that if you are working in a deficit for your emotional bandwidth. And finally, what Gabor Mente said, it's not about compassion fatigue. It's about a lack of self-empathy. So it's about self-care. It's about boundaries. It's about no means no. We're going to really take good care of ourselves so we have the availability to take care of others.
Absolutely. And we, you know, we can't get rid of these challenges in our day-to-day life. We all have them. Everybody does. And I think, you know, that's the importance of these, you know, to go through. And like you say, the glimmer as well, you know, to focus on the little bits in life that, you know, are really positive and we sometimes take for granted as well. So our listeners today, I'm sure, are very, very grateful. I am very, very grateful, Gretchen, as always, on behalf of the BDNG. I really, really look forward to seeing you face to face. And we shall look forward to our next podcast as well, Gretchen, because I know we have a few lined up. So I'm really, really positive about that. And just to say, on behalf of myself and the BDNG, thank you so much for all those wonderful techniques. And I'm sure we'll all be de-stressed now.
Oh, I'm sure you're half asleep.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, we'll be like, wow, wonderful people now. Yes, and for our younger readers as well, our listeners, I should say, Bewitched. Maybe not everybody knows about that.
Oh, so. True. This is true. Even the Nicole Kidman one is a good 20 years old.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, gosh, that makes me feel old now.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
They'll have to Google it. They'll have to Google it. But it was a firm favourite, definitely. But yeah, have that mouth and that nose twitching and gets all that resentment away.
You might not all get all of it away, but at least we just want you to be it. I mean, because who knows what the day was like. But let's just say neutral is the goal. Yes, and it's okay to feel sort of just neutral, not amazing and not awful. It's okay to just be okay in the moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay is okay.
Good words. Mm-hmm. And it's neutral, isn't it? It's like you say, getting back to neutral and really how to manage that compassion fatigue. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Gretchen. Thank you
so much. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website, bdng.org.uk, and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.